He's like, are you serious? You were the one to go a year ago. Cool, but wow. I couldn't put that on you. Yeah. You needed to hear that from God.
It doesn't normally match up with our external circumstances.
Yes, yes. The Lord is constantly speaking.
Are you actually still enough to listen?
Yeah. Why would God call you to something to make you miserable?
I feel like there's the greatest breakthrough when you just actually are being obedient without even knowing.
They're willing.
Yeah.
But not everyone's obedient. And so therefore they cannot partake of the blessing. I don't ever want to be in a place where I'm comfortable in my Christianity.
Hello and welcome to Victory Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about everyday life through a faith lens, living in victory. And today we have a special guest, Pastor Oscar. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thank you for having me here today. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah, we are. For those who don't know you, tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. Well, my name is Oscar. I have a beautiful wife named Melanie, and we have four children. All under the age of six right now.
Oh, wow.
So our house, it is definitely not quiet.
Right.
It's been amazing. You know, God has graced us with a beautiful family. We originally didn't plan to have four kids.
Okay.
Oh. We just thought, you know, like three would be kind of like the max.
Yeah.
You know, but it's been incredible to see how God has blessed us with all the children.
Yeah.
And learning a lot at the same time as to how a family nuclear family actually is very similar to a church family.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And so, well, you have like different characters.
Yeah.
You have, you know, who needs encouragement in this area?
Yeah.
Who needs a little bit more attention in another area?
Yeah.
And constantly telling them, get along.
Yeah. You know?
You're one family.
Similar to a church. Funny.
Similar to a church, you know. Think about the words of Paul where he says, you know, settle your differences.
Yeah.
That's and so, but it's been wonderful.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
And you pastor as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So obviously that's also very important. We we are pastoring. We have the opportunity to pastor a church called Good News Chapel.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are part of a greater movement. Mm-hmm. And so we are the first church plant of this movement, actually. So we are Good News Chapel, Vancouver in British Columbia. And then we have the mother church, which would be Good News Chapel, Montreal.
Okay.
And so that church is a sending church. Yeah. So we already have Vancouver. We also have Ottawa.
Okay.
And God willing, we'll have by next year, Good News Chapel, Quebec.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
And so,
so you and your wife moved here from Montreal to plant Good
That's
News
right.
Chapel,
yeah.
Vancouver. Wow.
So I was an associate pastor under Pastor Steve in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
I know Pastor Steve since I was the age of 16.
Okay.
He was the teaching pastor at the time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, God made a way. He became the lead pastor and I've been with him ever since. You know, really, we didn't have any plans to become lead pastors. We just wanted to serve God, you know, whatever it was. You know, I don't know about you guys, but, which I'm sure it is, the heart of serving the Lord, right?
Yeah. Like, yep.
Lord, I would rather be in your courts than anywhere else.
Yep.
I'll be a doorkeeper in your house. Yes. Doesn't matter what.
Yeah.
And so we were just available. And then during COVID, there was a group of people here in British Columbia, who a lot of churches obviously ended up closing down during that period.
Yeah.
And so a group of families got together and they started watching us online.
Okay.
So they were watching our live stream back in Montreal.
Yep.
With that, they ended up reaching out because they started having people at their home.
Yeah.
They ended up reaching out, I think, 6 months in of doing this. We had no idea that these people were doing this.
Yeah.
And they're like, would you consider opening up a church? So
it
was in the vision of the house to plant churches.
Okay.
But, you know, you get an email like that during COVID, you have no idea who this is.
Yeah, right.
So our pastor basically just pressed delete. He didn't even read. He's like, this is nuts.
Yeah.
Delete. And move forward. 3 months later, they reached out again.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this time we're like, okay, this must be real.
Yeah.
Let's read the email.
Exactly. So we answered the email. We set up a meeting. And the first thing that we ended up doing was we set them up. You're like, okay, this is wonderful.
Mm.
We felt that this was from the Lord. And so what we ended up doing was we, you know, we put them up in a school, an elementary school around here, actually, around the area.
Okay.
And they were watching live stream. We were still trying to figure out in Montreal, what are we doing with this group of people?
Yeah, interesting.
Right.
Like they obviously feel connected with us. They've been watching us now close to a year.
Yeah. Yes.
Is live stream even what the way we want to go
with?
And so as an associate pastor in Montreal, one of my responsibility was to for expansion and growth. And so I had just bought our house.
Wow.
In Montreal.
In Montreal.
Okay.
I was working under a great pastor, Pastor Steve. Wonderful leadership. We have a good relationship.
Yeah.
Everything's going great.
Yeah.
So they asked me, what are we going to do with Vancouver? So I said, well, there's a beautiful couple and they just graduated from Bible school, but they're like, they're good. You know, yeah, like yeah, I yeah. think they can go. They have no children. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, they're going to do wonderful. So we started the process.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what happened within it. It was about a 9 year, 9 months period where they were in contact with them. But every time that they were supposed to come, something would happen. Mm. You know, either Pastor Steve would say, no, let's wait until we go together. Mm. Or then they said, well, we're pregnant. And which, congratulations, by the way.
Yeah.
And so like there was things, you know. And so they kept delaying it. And the circumstances really delayed it. Mm-hmm. But in that period of time, the church that was watching here started dwindling. Okay. So it had grown about to 50 people. Then it had gone to 30 and then to 20. And it was the same concept of people loved it, people got saved. Yep. But we often got the same answer as it was, we need a real pastor, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so with that being said, we had to make a decision. Because, you know, like, yes, it's wonderful we have a group of people, but now it's like it's draining the resources of Montreal. You know, it's like we keep sending, I don't remember at the time. I mean, I could be off a little bit, but about $5,000 every month. So it's like it's substantial.
Yeah.
And so we make a decision. We call a board meeting and say, okay, what do we have to do? Either we send someone immediately or we shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I was the expansion pastor, they basically said like, you know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to pray about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to pray. I'm like, Lord, what are we going to do? Like, you know, this couple is not working out. Mm-hmm. They're fantastic. You know, like why isn't, what's the delay?
Yeah. Right.
And I hear a small voice, which is, that's how the Lord often speaks, right?
Yes. Yep.
And I hear him say very clearly, not like audibly, but like inward witness, right?
Yeah,
you're supposed to go. And I said, Lord, send somebody else.
Right? Oh, the Lord just,
And once again, I hear, every time I would ask, what am I supposed to do? Yeah. Who are we supposed to send? He goes, you're supposed to go.
Wow.
And I say, okay. Immediately I knew exactly, you know, because I was crying in desperation. Yeah. There was this thing that, from my heart was, I can't believe there's a group of people there without a shepherd.
Wow.
And so I remember telling the Lord, Lord, would you make it easy for me? Number one, to tell my wife that the house that we bought 9 months ago, we have to sell.
You guys didn't have kids back then either,
we did.
Right?
Oh, you did? Had kids. Okay.
We had two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we had two kiddos, lived in our home. For us, it was our dream home.
Yeah.
Beautiful neighborhood. No neighbors in the back. Just everything that you can imagine.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Like the type of home that you're like, we're going to grow here forever. Right. You know, like we're only downsized from here.
Right.
You know,
like,
and so we, I said, you know, Lord, make it easy that my wife, you know, would be like on board on this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And also second thing, that Pastor Steve would be on board with this.
Yeah.
Because we have such a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm coming, I mean, he's going to have to replace me. Not that I'm irreplaceable, but we have such a nice relationship.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And so I go home that day, tell my wife, all I said, babe, I think we're supposed to go.
Yeah.
She immediately starts crying.
Wow.
She says, I know. She goes, the Lord spoke to me about 3 weeks. She said, but I didn't, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to become a reality. Almost,
right.
You know? I said, okay, that's one. I said, the other person is going to be Pastor Steve. And so we end up going to a trip, Pastor Steve and I. He was being interviewed by French media, news media.
Yeah.
And on our way back, it's about an hour drive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He asks me the question,
yeah.
What are we going to do with Vancouver?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I said, well, I don't know. You're the pastor. I didn't want to say it.
Yeah.
And he stayed quiet.
Mm.
And then he said, what are we going to do with Vancouver? And that second time he asked me, I said, well, this is your chance to say it.
Mm.
So I said, I think I'm supposed to go. This is a small highway where we were at.
Yeah.
He came to the car to a full stop.
Really?
In the middle of the highway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking. We're going to die. We're not even going to get a chance to go to Vancouver. He's like, are you serious?
Yeah.
And I was like, I think so. Now I'm like second guessing myself, you know? I think so. And he said this to me. He said, if you're telling me you're supposed to go, he goes, I have a green light.
Wow.
He goes, I don't even have to pray about it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, it's too easy. You're trying to get rid of me.
Yeah, right?
And he said this. Yeah. He said, the Lord put it in my heart that, you know, you were the one to go a year ago. Equal, oh, but wow. I couldn't put that on you.
Yeah.
You needed to hear that from God.
Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's good.
And that's how we ended up coming here. And it's going to be 3 years in December.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I just want to unpack this a little bit because I think this is, if this does not apply to everybody, like, you know, when God tells you something that you're supposed to do and there's the wrestle and there's the seeking wisdom, especially from your spouse, making sure you're on the same page when you've given your yes to God to go anywhere, to do anything, and he actually takes you up on that offer. You know, it's something that we've even wrestled with, and it's like, you know, would we ever move?
Yeah.
You know, and then we set our own, like, well, then this would have to be said, right?
Yeah. Like, you set all these parameters in order for something to happen,
And you try to negotiate, God, if this happens.
Yeah. And it's so real. And I feel that, you know, it's so... To put yourself in a place where you welcome disobedience within yourself, if you then hear it and ask God, what am I supposed to do? And he tells you, you're now, you know now.
Yep.
You're putting yourself in a place of you're going to disobey now that you've asked.
You've asked the
question. And so now it's like, okay, I feel like there is a process and a time as well because we're all human too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we all need to... sometimes news needs to digest through us and we need to process certain news and moves and stuff like that. How was that for you guys? How was that, you know, transition? I know that sometimes it's easy when you know it's God.
Yeah.
So how was that process? Like needing to now downsize because you're moving to BC and we all know BC is the most expensive place on earth. The same price you buy a house over there, you might be buying
I'll tell you. Our home. I'm talking about like that you would something that you would spend maybe at least 1.6 million here.
Yeah.
Right.
Detach.
Yeah.
In Langley, let's say.
Right. Yeah.
It cost me 600,000.
Wow.
I was living the dream.
Wow.
That's about a third.
Wow. It's like what people pay for a like one bedroom condo here.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. It was like insane.
Yeah.
Wow. But you know, what I would tell you is to unpack it a little bit. The you know, that word that the Lord gave me, which was like, you're supposed to go. Really, the Lord was giving us signs ahead of time.
Mm.
Yeah.
He put a desire in my heart that was different. I never wanted to be a lead pastor. Then things started changing. We were in such a comfortable space. And there's nothing wrong with comfort. I believe the Lord wants us to be comfortable, but not spiritually.
Right.
And so we were such in a comfortable space. The young adults that I had been given to pastor, being able to pastor along Pastor Steve and, you know, having a full-time salary, having the house of our dreams, you know, beautiful wife, two children. Yeah. I'm 15 minute drive from our church. There's vision more.
That's
like
everything.
My parents are both, my wife's parents are, you know, a 20-minute drive. My parents are there, a 8-minute drive. Like, it's like...
Perfect for kids.
It's everything.
Yeah.
It's everything.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. And there was one time in prayer where I remember telling the Lord, before all of this ended up happening, I said, I don't ever want to be in a place where I'm comfortable in my Christianity. It really is a... it's a dangerous prayer.
Yeah.
Because God will say, okay.
Yeah.
And then he will take you in the next phase of life or the next journey.
Yeah.
And that's really what happened to us. Wow. Then the Lord started putting little things. One of them was after 3 months of living in our home, I have this urge to sell it.
Interesting. Yeah.
It was the weirdest conversations I would have with my dad. I told him like, I don't know, I just bought this house. I feel like I need to sell it.
Yeah. Interesting.
My dad's like, are you trying to make money? Like, you know, I spoke to Pastor Steve. I told Pastor Steve, I said like, I just bought the house. I said, but I don't know why I feel like I need to sell it. He actually told me. And we have a great relationship. He knows me. He's like, are you, Oscar, don't be greedy. Like, you know, like you're going to kill your wife. Yeah. Like, you just got this house. I'm like, I don't know why. It was God was putting little things.
Right.
You know, it's time to sell. I know you just got it.
Yeah.
But you also prayed a prayer and now it's time to move.
Yeah.
And so I would always say, you know, like the Lord is constantly speaking. And you guys know this, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
The question is, are we we may be listening, but are we heeding to that?
Yeah.
To what he's actually saying.
Yeah. Right.
Because you mentioned too, this he most of the time talks in that still voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So are you actually still enough to listen?
Yeah. Like, you know, like when he was telling me to sell the house, I tried getting counsel for everybody.
Right. Right.
Yet I knew in the back of my mind, God is saying, sell it now.
Yeah.
Sell it now. And I'm like, maybe I'm going to find someone that's going to tell me this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
My dad.
Yes.
Pastor Steve. Yeah. Right. Some friends.
Yeah.
All of them were saying no. But yet I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
God was saying, I want you to sell it now. Why? Because, you know, just like hindsight, you realize that if I would have sold it when the Lord was prompting me, I would have made a good profit of money.
Okay.
That would have allowed me to come here with at least $200,000 in my pocket.
Wow.
Because of COVID and all the
where
I had bought it and everything.
Yeah.
Right? That 9-month delay changed things for me financially.
Interesting.
But
okay.
The Lord was still faithful.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes.
It was just a different experience.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny when he speaks in that way. And it's like, you know, when we're at a place where you're mentioning, you know, being comfortable and he asks you to do something, it doesn't normally match up with our external circumstances,
right? Absolutely.
That is something I've seen so much in my life where, you know, you're walking with God and it's an adventure.
Yeah.
It's an adventure walking with him. Like different seasons of life don't necessarily will look like what you expect them to look. But I love that. I love that side.
I think
really
it keeps us on our toes.
It really it does.
It grows our faith.
It grows our faith. Yeah. It grows our faith. It gets us out of our own head and our own comfortability where we're actually supposed to die to ourselves, right? We pick up our cross every day and we follow him wherever he goes. And that's what it's supposed to look like, right? Yeah.
So absolutely.
Yeah. I love absolutely. That. I love that.
There's this theme. Biblical theme of the wilderness, and every person is put in there to grow, to depend only on God. That's where the core of fasting comes in. It's so that you stop relying on the bread that you make yourself, but the bread from the Word. And so, if you're not in the wilderness, you don't learn to depend on Him. You just get comfortable. You get comfortable in your 9-to-5. You get comfortable getting your own bread. And so, we all need that. We all need that. Totally.
Absolutely. There's a friend of mine that the Lord has greatly blessed him. He has the opportunity to do business and church life, like ministry life. And what I would tell you is one of the things we were having a bunch of conversations, you know, we're friends. And he said it's he often has to put himself in that place. He goes, I would rather put myself in the place of discomfort before God has to do it for me. Because when you go in that place, if you do it, God's like, oh, great. It's almost like, this is wonderful. You put yourself in. So it does, how does that mean? He goes, I'm constantly believing God for greater things that require his intervention in my life.
Right.
Not just like, oh, well, accumulated wealth and now I have leadership ability and now I have influence. Mm-hmm. No, it's, well, I may have all that and that all comes from God.
Yeah.
But I still got to believe for more because if I believe for more, now I'm fully dependent on him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, I love that. You know, I think that is a good way for us to be able to live.
Yeah.
So good.
That's amazing. Yeah. So then you guys are here. What is the vision of Good News Chapel in Vancouver?
Absolutely. So the vision, obviously we are, you know, we're one movement, right? Yeah. So Good News Chapel is different churches in different places.
Yeah.
One of the things that's in our hearts is to plant a church in every major city.
Okay.
A Canadian city, of course.
Yeah.
We have a heart for Canada. The pastors that are going to be pastoring these churches are, you know, have a heart for Canada. That's what we look for. Yeah. The vision really is simple. Yeah. You know, revival, reformation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've talked to people who have experienced revival.
Yeah.
We have had moves of God here, actually, in Langley. You know, you look a couple of years ago and you have stories from CLA with Brent Cantillon. Mm-hmm. And you have, you know, now even from there, how many other pastors have planted churches in Calgary, Winnipeg, some here, you know, like that came out of this movement. Yep. And there's beautiful stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's another generation that needs to hear about the wonderful things that God can do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at the state of our nation,
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but I do believe that the Lord still wants to use his church.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and use us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're here for. You know, we want to see another spiritual awakening. We want to see a move of God and see many people come to salvation as much
as possible. Amazing.
Yeah.
That's so good.
That is
wow.
good.
And you guys have been having revival nights every Friday. We hear, and that's one way you guys do that, right?
Yeah.
What do those look like?
So we have our regular services are Friday and Sundays.
Okay.
Yeah. We have Friday night services. That's kind of like our family nights. And and then Sunday we come together, celebrate that, you know, the devil got his butt kicked through the week.
And, that's awesome. Yeah.
And then what we're doing is every couple of months, we're doing revival services.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up, our first one was in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that happened. That was on a Friday and a Saturday. We did 2 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
We saw 137 people in attendance and 37 people gave their life to Christ in Calgary.
Okay.
That's amazing. You know, I'm a pastor. Awesome. I'm not an evangelist.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was our first one doing this just out of obedience to the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm in the hotel room waiting to hear from the team how the night is going.
Yeah.
So I messaged them. I said, you know, how's it looking? I want to hear a number.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's good. I'm like, if they're not giving me a number, it must not be good.
Yeah.
I wait about 15 minutes before going down and end up going down, and as I'm texting them again, I'm like, hey, so did we open the doors? How's it looking? They're like, it's good, Pastor. I'm like, oh, this can be good, you know? My wife had I had spoken to her right before going down, and she had said, how are you feeling? I said, babe, I'm feeling great in the sense like I'm being obedient to the Lord.
Yeah.
But I said, I don't know who's going to be there.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I'm not like, people don't recognize me on the street. People don't watch me on TV. People, you know, it's like, we're just being obedient.
Yeah. Right.
And then to see 130 people in attendance was supernatural for us.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Our whole team, our whole church, they didn't say it because they were just going on the word that I was telling them. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful testament to see that people are actually hungry.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't matter where you go.
Yes.
If you are just obedient to God, people show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The last one we just had was here in our backyard, right? Downtown Vancouver.
Yeah.
We did it at the TELUS Science World.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. The team chose TELUS Science World. I'm like, you know, I let them I release it.
Yeah.
They're doing a good job. I'm like, I'll make sure I'm ready spiritually. I'll come. And then the registration started coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking like, are these like a robot registrations? Like what's happening, you know? And we saw 165 people come in attendance.
Wow.
Downtown Vancouver. And we saw 37 plus 20. We saw 64 salvations in just a few hours.
Wow.
In there.
Wow.
What surprised me the most was the same thing. Like nobody knows me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like people have heard of our church here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There was a couple of friends that ended up coming in from Victoria.
Interesting.
They came, they took a ferry, come from Victoria, group of six friends.
Yeah.
A young girl that I speak to after the service, she says, I didn't even know why I was coming.
Wow.
She said, I just knew I had to be here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She goes, and then when I come here, she goes, I get a phone call telling me that my mom has some sort of cancer. Now I know I'm here to stand in the gap for her.
Oh, wow.
And
That's
so we had people from all over coming.
Lord,
and to me, it's just, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, now obviously, boost your confidence that people are showing up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, well, I'm a nobody.
Yeah.
So there's no stress.
Yeah.
I'm just a messenger from the Lord. I'm preaching.
Got nothing to lose.
You know? And then people, you know, get delivered. And then people start coming to the church.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
You know?
Yeah. That's amazing. I'm
tearing up here because, you know, obedience. Like back to obedience. I don't know about anyone else listening, but when you're following God and the word that he tells you and something to do, and you mentioned it and it's like resonating for me right now, that you just have no idea how it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
Like you actually just don't know. You just know that you're taking the step, but you don't, it's like, it's almost like you can't see past your next step that God told you to do. And sometimes he has the grace to tell you a little bit more, but in those moments, I feel like there's the greatest breakthrough when you just actually are being obedient without even knowing and like full trust fall. Like you actually can't even see, but God told you to do it.
Yeah.
And you heard it. You don't even hear the guy behind you that's about to catch you. But God just said, now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like those have the biggest breakthroughs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, like as you were saying that, I'm reminded of the passage of scripture that says, you know, those who are willing and obedient will eat the good of the land.
Yeah.
Most people are willing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll find a lot of people be like, oh, I'm willing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord.
Yeah.
I'll go wherever you want me to go. They're willing.
Yeah.
But not everyone's obedient.
That's right. Mm.
And so therefore they cannot partake of the blessing.
Right.
But when you're willing and obedient,
mm-hmm. yeah.
You know, it also goes the other way around. Most people are obedient to, but they're not necessarily willing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, but Pastor, I'm doing it. Or Lord, I'm doing it. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Yeah, but you're not willing. Your heart is not willing. Yeah, you're doing it, but you're not willing.
Yeah.
But it's both.
Yeah.
It's willing and obedient. It's the same thing with my kids, you know. Honestly, the Lord's been teaching us a lot through our children. And and so, for example, like I could tell the difference when I tell my son, go clean your room.
Right.
And he obeys, but he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, like, there's a different attitude.
Yeah. There is, yeah.
And I'm like, I go to my wife, I'm like, why can't he just be willing? You know, it's like, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
I have a reward for him.
Yes. You know, right? Like,
there's something good that I want.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, you know, it's like, he's willing. What does that look like? Yeah, Dad, I'm going to do it in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Let me just finish this game.
Yeah.
Just relatable. 5 minutes.
Yeah.
An hour later.
Yeah. Yes.
It's not done, you know? Yeah. It's delayed obedience now, you know? And so willing and obedient. And I think like if we don't overcomplicate things with the Lord, let's be willing. Let's be obedient.
Yes. Yeah.
Have a smile on our face when God's asking us to do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes a smile with tears because you're like, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you're scared to do it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the Lord is faithful.
Yes.
Yeah. The Lord is completely faithful.
Yes. He is so faithful.
Where he sends you, he'll provide.
Absolutely.
He'll provide every way, every door,
absolutely.
Financially, emotionally. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he will.
Well, where there's a vision, there's provision, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so
good. That's better said. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's so good. So what are you now being here? How long have you been here?
So it's going to be BC now? 3 years, December 1st. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're very close to, our, I'm telling our church people, we're no longer a church plant.
Yeah.
Now we're considered established. You know, after year number three, you're established. You're no longer a church plant.
That's
you know?
Awesome. Yeah.
And so, December 1st is going to be 3 years.
Yeah, awesome. What's on the horizon? Like, what do you see? What is the Lord telling you now?
To be honest, we're in a season of asking the Lord what the next step is for us, right? Yeah. Like as a church, we, from day one, we were believing for a building. Mm-hmm. You know, when we started with, I remember my first Sunday here, we were 25 people in attendance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, and then the Lord started increasing the people. This past Sunday was a great Sunday for us. We were close to 200 people in attendance this past Sunday, which we've been seeing the increase. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we want to see it from one day to another.
Yeah.
Right.
But there's something in that faithfulness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the Lord's been bringing them. Now we're at a spot where we're like, Lord, now you really have to do something for us in regards to our building because or else we're going to have to go to two services. You know, like, and not that I'm opposed to that, you know, I'll do whatever God wants me to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we are believing the Lord for our building. The reason why we're doing that, it's not because it's the ultimate goal. It's not like, I even told our church people, once you have a building, it's not like you stop like, oh, God did it.
Yeah.
We're in the promised land, this coast. No, it's actually, there's more work.
Yep. Right.
Yep. Yep.
And so we want a building just to be able to do more, you know, have more revival services, having the church open throughout the week. You know, people don't just need to get saved on Friday and Sunday. Like, what about during the week?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I come from a church where, you know, you would have somebody knock at the door on a regular Wednesday.
Yeah.
And off the street. Yeah. And the secretaries would lead them to Jesus.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. And the secretaries would lay hands on them and they would get filled with a baptism of the Holy Spirit.
So good.
No pastor.
So good.
Just the secretary.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so like, why? Because they're a believer full of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we want. You know, an opportunity for people to say like, you know, that church is open. They'll go there. They'll be ready to pray for you. You know, even the secretaries are anointed. You know? And so that's really what we're believing the Lord for. That's kind of like the next step for us.
Yeah.
Wow. In the meantime,
wow,
we don't stop being the church.
Yeah.
So we're not going to say, Lord, unless we have a building, we're not going to do it. We're just doing it.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I want to pick your brain a little bit for the practical side of things.
Yeah.
And I know you mentioned you and your wife are doing ministry together and you have four kids now.
Yeah.
How do you balance the family and leading a church? What things do you guys have in place practically that help you succeed in that area?
I don't know if you're going to like my question, my answer.
But, I'm so curious to know, though.
But my wife and I, we don't necessarily look at the way of balancing, like what everybody else looks at balancing.
And I like that. I want to know.
Yeah, because sometimes people are like, how do you balance ministry and family? And how do you do it? And so with us, really, we just look at it, think about it this way. It's like I have a couple of balls in my hands.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Like, have you ever seen a clown? And they're going like that.
Yes. Yep.
Maybe I'm the clown. Yeah. You know? but it's like, so you're like keeping things afloat.
Yeah. Yes.
What we realize is that we just have to be, our eyes have to be open. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our ears have to be sensitive to what needs attention in our life at whatever moment, at that particular moment.
Right. Okay.
And so if my family needs attention,
yeah,
I'm going to make sure my family gets attention.
Yes. Yeah.
If my ministry needs attention, I'm going to make sure it gets the attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's constantly everything. I'm just trying to keep everything up in the air.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like trying to, well, you know, from 9 to 5, I do ministry.
Right.
And, and then like, because it doesn't work that way. You know, majority of my meetings are actually in the evening.
Right.
Yeah. You know, when people finish work and they need some marriage counseling or sometimes celebrations, different things, you know. And so we just make sure that there's whatever needs attention, we go and approach it the right way.
Yeah.
And so, there are times where it's like, no, there are slots in my life where there's no meetings.
Yeah. Mm.
My children need me.
Yeah.
I'm here with them for the next 2 days, 3 days, full attention.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest. Good. And that's the way we approach it, because if we, if the church falls in 3 days, I mean, then I'm not doing my job properly. You know, like I'm building it on myself, and which is not. It's good building on the Lord.
That's right.
You know? I like that. Yeah. Wow, so that's really
That's the way that we approach.
Yeah. You know? That's amazing.
A little bit simple, but
no, I like that. Good. I'm always so curious to know that, because we're also in a space of learning that as well. And I love to hear how people do it, because it's an important thing, right? And I loved how you said at the beginning, you know, the similar things that happen in your family.
in the
leave kind of the same way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There's no distinction for us. Oh, that's my work. No, it's my life.
It's your life,
it's
right?
My life.
Yeah. You know, everything is ministry, right?
The kids are part of it. You know, at the beginning, like the first year, oftentimes I was praying and my daughter was with me.
Yeah. Because
she would run up to me.
Yeah.
Because she's like, who are these people? You know, like, she didn't know them. And if my wife had, you know, one of our children with her.
Yeah.
And so I would grab them and pray. Minister, and that was it. And that was a season for our lives.
Yeah.
And now we're in a different season. Now they're growing up, you know?
Yeah.
Now they go to Kiss Church. Now, you know, it's like, it's different.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
That's so good. Yeah. I love that.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all this wisdom and transition and how to transition well.
Yeah.
It's all really, really spoken. I don't know about you, but it's really spoken to me as, even like, anytime that we feel like we're in transition, it's like, you know, where do we go? How do we set our eyes? And is there, for anyone that's listening that may be going through this phase of transition, of you know, hearing where they're going or wanting to hear the Lord on where to go, or even if the Lord has told them and they actually are struggling to get there and to start heading towards that direction, what would be something that you would tell them?
Yeah. So, you know, honestly, the first thing that I would say is oftentimes I get this question. I don't know about you guys. Mm-hmm. If you ever do a podcast on like how to hear the voice of God, you will actually see a ton of people actually want to listen to that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the first step is understanding that as a believer, it's our inheritance to hear from the voice from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I approach when I seek the Lord, I'm like, I know he's going to speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I start with that. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, that I have the ability to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, that you said in your word that, you know, my sheep know my voice and the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. So, Lord, I know that if I'm consecrated, I know that if I'm doing what you've telling me to do, then I will hear your voice and I will move in that direction. I think that's where it all begins. You know, having that assurance that you can hear from the Lord. And he must speak to you differently than he does to me. You know, I oftentimes meet friends and, you know, sometimes the voice of God in my life sounds a little bit different than the way God speaks to you.
That's right.
You know, sometimes, like I've had friends, I'm like, God speaks to you like he's a Hispanic father. You know, like, you know, people are like, it's different, right? Like, and so, but you'll start learning how God speaks to you. And then just move in that direction. And I think when people do that, so first starting with like, God does speak to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm confident that he will today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't God speak to me today?
Yeah.
If we say that there's fresh manna from heaven every single day of our lives.
Yep. Yes.
And so he speaks to us every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the first initial thing. Once you have that, then be willing and obedient.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when life becomes so exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what I would say is like in the whole process, look for where joy is. The Bible says, you know, in his presence, there is fullness of joy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about like you always have to be giggly and happiness. I'm just saying joy.
Yeah.
And so like, but in his presence, fullness of joy. And so like, if you are like, if you heard from the Lord, look where joy is taking you.
Yeah.
Because that means he's there.
Yeah.
His presence is there.
Yeah.
Yes.
I tell our church people, I said like, if you don't see me joyful at church, there's a problem.
Yeah.
There's something going on with me.
Yeah.
I'm disconnected.
Right.
But there has to be joy.
Yeah.
I sometimes meet, don't worry, I'm not going to name any names. I mean pastors, you know, in the area and pastors, man, like I feel for them at times because they're doing their best, you know, like, but I tell them, I say, ministry is supposed to be enjoyable.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why would God call you to something to make you miserable?
Right.
I'm not saying there are not difficulties.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Like we understand from Paul, was in prison, shipwrecked, in all that, he says, I can do all things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And so there has to be an aspect of joy in whatever the next step that God's calling you to do. So that's what I would say. Number one, know that God speaks to you.
Yeah.
Number two is understanding that follow where joy is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Willing and obedient.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Both.
Both.
No, not just one or the other.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's
Thank
what makes
you.
A difference.
Thank you so much. Would you be able to please pray for all those watching in regards to that?
Sure. That'd Anything awesome. Specifically?
In regards to hearing the voice of God and being willing and obedient.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's pray.
Yeah.
Yes.
Father, we thank you again. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have the opportunity to come to you any time of day, any season of life. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you said in your word, my sheep know my voice and the voice of a stranger that will not follow. Thank you, Lord, that you also said in your word out of Psalm 23, that David made this declaration. He said, the Lord is good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Father, I thank you, Lord, that today for each and every single person watching, that they would understand that God is not a good shepherd just to the world, but God is a good shepherd to them, to them specifically. Yeah. That was the revelation of David. I thank you, Lord, that it would be so for them today. Mm-hmm. I pray right now, those who are listening, whether it's on a podcast form, whether it's on YouTube, I pray right now that they feel your presence, Lord, in a very real way. We haven't done this podcast just to entertain.
Yes.
We have done this podcast, Lord, for impartation.
Yeah.
And so, Father, I pray right now that as people are listening to today's podcast, they feel the presence of God leading them, even now, O Heavenly Father. And Lord, that they get more familiar with your voice and your presence. I pray, O Lord, that their ears would always be attentive, that their eyes would always be open to the next thing that you have for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I pray, oh, Heavenly Father, may they be found faithful, faithful, even as we know the day of the Lord is approaching.
Yes.
We love you, Lord, very much. Yeah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today
and
sharing all your wisdom with us.
Thank you guys. This was awesome.
Thank you.
You guys are amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Joyful.
Come on. Praise God.
And so thank you for the opportunity.
Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Jesse from Surrey, British Columbia. This podcast was made possible by partners like me. When you partner with KCM, you're helping send free resources like this podcast to people around the world. Find more faith-filled resources at kcmcanada.ca.
Thank you for tuning in today. We pray that this episode has stirred and strengthened your faith. And if it has, don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with someone who needs encouragement. We also have a free PDF resource available for this episode, complete with study notes and key takeaways to help you stay built up in faith throughout the week. This podcast was made free thanks to the amazing support of our partners. Visit the link in the description to find out more.